You're listening to The Training Dummies. With Rob.
Make it good. Close back.
And Daryl.
I think I've made improvements to your face.
What the heck was that, dude? we started something this week. We're picking the sound clip for the other person. So, yeah. So keep that in mind going forward listening to this, and welcome to episode 130 of The Training Dummies, recorded on May 25th, 2016. I'm Rob, and naked good, clothes bad. So I just dinked level 10 in Overwatch. Daryl, what level are you?
I am level 1 because I heard there's no level 0.
Level 1? You mean rank 1?
I mean, I haven't played yet.
So tonight, we're going to have a little bit of a different show again. I know we did Hearthstone last week, and somebody was sad that we didn't talk about WoW, and I apologize for that, and I apologize in advance now, but this topic is totally off the charts for us, and it's kind of cool, and I'm excited to talk about it because it's important to me. We're going to welcome our special guest, Dave, also known as Screwloose from Twitter. Can we get a warm Training Dummies welcome? Sure. Hey, thanks so much for coming on.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
Very well. Good. Very well.
Really, really good to have you on. Before we get into the topic a little bit, though, I think we, for the people who don't know you or know much about you, we'll do our little interview. We'll get to know you a bit, and then we'll talk about the other stuff there.
Sounds cool.
Awesome. So how about what, when, where, why did you start playing video games?
Well, so I guess this started a really long time ago because I'm hella old. I'm 44. So I started basically on a Bally, which I don't know if you know back then. It was a little machine. It was like one of the first consoles, and it had these the controllers were actually, they looked like the, like a gun, not holster, but the actual handle. And yeah, then they had a little, on top, they had the actual, you know, toggle stick. It was kind of crazy. So that was what I first started on when I was about 5. And then my mom, she went and forked down $4,000 for a TI-94.
Whoa.
Yeah. So, you know, so I got to play Hunt the Wumpus on that, which was a fun kind of game. It took like 20 minutes to load, though, because you load it using a tape, you know, an actual cassette tape. Remember those days? It was something.
Yeah, we had something that was a tape drive. I can't remember what it was, but yeah, cassette tape or whatever that was, yeah.
Oh, yeah. And it just makes a ton of noise for 15 minutes, and then it's finally done. And if you ever mess it up or you talk too loud, it screws it up. So, yeah, it was fun. I love that. So I played a little King's Quest after that, then took a break, and then, you know, I started actually doing some work and stuff. And then I went back to college, and back then Doom 2 came out, and it became an absolute obsession. So after that, then it was Quake, and I actually got into Quake competitive.
Yes.
Yeah. So I started doing that competitively for a while, and then during that time, you know, Diablo was big, Warcraft was big. So those were the big ones. So I already had my Blizzard kind of good feels for it because Diablo, like the feeling that gave, it was so different than any other game. Mm. You got this mood, right? And the music was just, it was cool. So I really got into that. I took a hiatus and then came into WoW right at Cata launch. So that was it. That's been about it. It's been WoW ever since.
Nice. A lot of people know you on Twitter as Screwloose. So what is the name, or what is the origin of the name Screwloose?
So, yeah, it was, you know, trying to find a unique name. So at first, I started like my whole career thing, you know, when Doom came out, you had to have a name because you didn't just put your name. It was dumb. So my first was a Revealer, which I have no idea why I did that. Why Revealer happened to be it. It sounds like I was, you know, streaking past people or something, but, you know, so that was lame. So I got rid of that. And then I tried to do like Freddy Fatsacks and Sergeant Skidmarks, but those are too funny. to really do it. I don't play a saxophone, so neither of those really stuck.
But you, so, but you do have the. Never mind. Yeah,
but you know, I do have a screw loose in my head, so that made sense. It was like, okay, yeah, I'm a weirdo. I can go with that, you know. So I just changed the name, how it was phonetically spelled, and I was like, that's it. That's the one. And no one has ever tried to like copy it, so it's been really great. It's been very unique.
There you go. What would you say is your most fond memory in or because of gaming?
Oh gosh. Okay. So I had this one. I had this one tournament in Quake. We're, you know, playing competitively. This was Quake 2's Capture the Flag. We got to go to Canada, and it was for this competition slash LAN party there. This was when competitions were really, you know, it was not a sponsored thing. So this was all, we all just kind of like forked in our own money to do this. And I got my chance to go there, and it was amazing. Like, you know, we're there, I'm in shorts, 17 below, not knowing anything about Edmonton. I have no idea. Yeah, so they took us out. We I learned about Blue Rare Steak, so that's when I finally got to, you know, that's when steak all of a sudden opened up to me. Like, wow, you can have it raw. This is great. So yeah, Blue Rare Steak, you know, and, it, you know, it's in the middle of cow country, but man, it was a blast. We just had so much fun, and I met some really great people that I'm still friends with now, so I really enjoyed that. And then I started, after that, there's also, when it came to WoW, I had this friend. I started on WoW, and all my friends were, you know, basically friends from real life, but they were all freaking out thinking that I was going to become obsessed second job WoW type of thing, which is true, but... they were worried I was actually going to, you know, end up getting divorced and all this stuff because I came in kind of late because I knew I had an obsessive behavior on that. So then what happened is they all left. So just as I was – they made me roll Warlock on a PvP server during the time when Warlocks were absolutely hated. So it took me almost 6 months to get going. So with, during all that time, you know, obviously I'm learning a lot about not just how to play the game, but how to PvP, because, you know, that's the only way you can roll. And by the time I actually got to end game, they were all gone. They hadn't been there for a long time, which made me mad. So I moved over to, I knew Sinwise. I don't know if you ever, I think you guys mm-hmm. were. Mm-hmm. So Sinwise, I saw him on Twitter, and I'm like, hey, this guy is something, you know, and he's a great warlock. Let me go to his server. And I rolled Horde, so I had to re-roll into Alliance, and I did the whole process over again, right? But this time, they were on, they weren't on a PvP server, they were on, you know, regular peaceful servers, what I like to call them. So anyway, so I rolled that, and during that time, there was this girl named Ice Dragon, and she was amazing, knew everything, and was totally willing to, like, run me through all the old school raids and told me all the history about them while we were doing it. And that became like my best experience with WoW because it was just so much fun. Is that long nice. Enough for you?
No, that's good. That's perfect.
That's awesome, man.
Okay. I like it. I can be long-winded at times.
That's all right. What is your favorite Blizzard title?
WoW, without a doubt. I mean, I have that, you know, like I was saying, I have that feeling for Diablo, you know, that little tiny, you know, loot or whatever it is that they play that makes, you know, it just brings back a really great trigger memory for me. But still, WoW, I mean, I've put so much, absolutely so much time into it. And there was times where I had to figure out, you know, with the wife, I'd tell her, hey, you know, I'm really into this game. You know, we need to figure out how I can do this. And, you know, I know we have two kids. So I'm still going to be with them, but I really want to, you know, make this happen. So she's like, you know, she worked it out with me. So basically around 10 o'clock every night, I'd stay up till 3. And I would do that, and then I would go to work and do my normal job. And, you know, that just became the process until I basically couldn't do it anymore. I got too old to be able to do those hours. So,
yeah,
you know,
that's
kind of the way it went. Yeah, it's just, you know, and then we had a third kid. And, oh, man, once you have that third kid, oh. There's no time. And then we were stupid enough to have a fourth.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah.
You know what causes that, right?
Well, no, I don't.
That's another episode.
Yeah, but apparently there's some surgery to handle this, so I got it done. It hurt.
Yeah, I'm up for that one soon. But
what a fun thing. So, well, of course, like everything with my life, there's complications. But yeah, so that was a WoW without a doubt. Yeah, I'm kind of on a hiatus right now, though. I haven't been playing WoW. I let my subscription kind of go for a little bit, but funny enough, I have people that I haven't even played with hounding me, saying, hey, what server are you on? And I'm like, I'm on no server right now. What server were you on? Okay, I'm going there. Now you better get in there. So I kind of am forced, no matter what, to get back in and play, which I don't mind because Legion's coming soon. That's going to be fun.
Yeah, it is.
So I guess that answers the question about what your favorite thing to do in-game is right now, but...
Unless it's another game.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's kind of a bummer, right? Well, because I love to play Overwatch, but in a Windows box comes.
Yep. Soon.
Yeah, somebody soon. Was nice enough to get me a Windows box and one of their old ones. So once it comes in the mail, then I'll see if it can run it.
Awesome. Daryl, do you have a bonus question?
No, I don't think so. Nothing offhand anyway. Do you?
Not this time.
All right.
Hey, everybody. This is Jack from Incarnate, and you're listening to The Training Dummies with Rob and Daryl.
All right. If you have any questions or comments or just want to find out what we're doing, we're active on Twitter. That is at Training Dummies. Rob is at Rob Copeland, and myself, Daryl, is at Hend_TTD. So, yeah, Rob, I'll let you introduce this since this was all you. This was your idea, although I like it.
Well, the idea popped up because I had seen with the Con Before the Storm that they had actually started rolling out some of their supporter packages, and one of them was talking about some a fitness consultation, and I started thinking this is something that you see go around a lot with people that that basically, you know, on Twitter and talking about, you know, getting fit before BlizzCon and, you know, trying to get their act together and trying to lose some weight and stuff. And I know that this is something that I deal with a lot too. I get lazy and I live in Austin and I eat chips and queso and tacos and brisket and all these great things. And then, you know, then all of a sudden you're 20 or 30 pounds heavier than you want to be. And then, you know, it's just back and forth and back and forth. And I thought, well, this would be great. You know, we'll bring Dave on the show. We'll talk about, you know, kind of the fit, how to make a lifestyle out of it and, you know, actually, you know, the maybe some of the not science, I don't know, the just, you know, getting fit and making the permanent choices to do it. So Dave, I have a couple of questions for you. And then obviously, I think you had some things that you were kind of looking at because of what you were doing. Do you want to talk about what you're doing maybe with the Con Before the Storm? You said they approached you to kind of do some consultation there.
Sure. So, out of the blue, they had contacted me. I'm in contact with the, Astro Robot quite a bit. We've actually gone out to lunch and stuff like that because up to dinner because we live nearby. And I've done some, you know, testing for them on, when they were doing the raid testing and whatnot. They just kind of knew me, and I assume they kind of knew from all my steak pictures what I'm doing, and I kind of, you know, I don't try to force it down anybody's throat, but I always show off what I'm doing and what kind of diet I'm doing, and they seem to like that. They liked it that I was doing it from a kind of different perspective than what they normally do. Mm-hmm. So I was, you know, obviously if that's going to help Con Before the Storm, I'm definitely in for it.
So that's awesome that they actually they reached out to you, and I think V was going to be doing that for Mask Mr. Robot as well. She was going to be working with folks who were wanting to do some sort of, you know, talking about fitness or that. Maybe
she's doing a lot of recipes and stuff.
Oh, yeah. That's right. So one of my questions has always been, and I know the obvious answer, you know, when people talk about diet and exercise is, you know, it's one more important than the other. Well, ultimately you want to do both, but let's just say, you know, we're adults, we're in the over 40 club. You know, it's hard to work and, like you mentioned, have kids, invest ourselves in gaming, you know, and invest ourselves in trying to, at the end of the day, where do you try to draw that line where you're going to take care of yourself? So how do you balance that? Like, if you only really have the mental capacity to try and focus on a limited amount of things, so how do you, would you put your energy into diet or exercise, or how would you do that?
Oh man. Yeah. That's the big question, right? I think that's the biggest part about it is how do you do something? For me, it was always, how do you do something that is not, number one, easy to do. Because if it's not easy to do, I'm not going to repeat it. I'm not going to be able to do it day in, day out.
Right.
It has to be. And it has to be fast because, hey, I ain't got time. Right. So something fast, something easy to do, and something that doesn't require me to count calories or put everything in my fitness pal. Because, oh, man, come on. You know, I ain't got time for that. I mean, I've tried. I've tried calorie restriction. I've tried, you know, paleo, whatever, the Malibu diet, you know, everything. You get a chance to try it. But most of them, they just require so much of you. And it's just not good. So funny enough, I listened to all my friends and the kind of diets they're going through. And I listened to talk to them. And I would read up on the latest diets and stuff like that. And, you know, I wanted to stay away from the whole fad idea as well. You know, these fads that, you know, all of a sudden there's this some new diet, right? But, you know, how different is it from the others? So finally somebody talked about ketogenic. And at first I was like, oh, that sounds like crap. Are you kidding me? You know, I'm just not going to have carbs and my body's going to be okay with this. Are you kidding? And then so I actually, after a friend, she did it for a while and she quit pretty quickly afterwards. But she told me, you know, it wasn't that bad. And so I did some research and I said, and I found that, you know, I thought, well, you know, the one thing I've always noticed is that bodybuilders always know their diets to the T. And I know that they do all the counting and everything, but there's got to be something in there. Like they have such a massive understanding of their own bodies. They can actually cut down to certain pounds, right? And they know how much will cut and how much muscle they might lose, and you know how much they might gain. They're kind of scary when you think about it, like, you know, the fact that they can do so much with their body that way. So with that said, like, I decided, why don't I research on that? So I researched into that. I started to find that this ketogenic thing was used for cutting a lot of times, and they talked about how much you could actually lose really quickly, which, you know, I hate to say that really did, like, you know, interest me, but it did. So, I mean, I was like, you know, I'm really fat. Like, I mean, I'm not really fat, but I felt fat and I felt like wrong because people my age are dying. And I'm wondering why, you know, Fife Dog, right? Like Fife Dog, you know, he died just lately. And he said, you know, in an interview like a year beforehand that he's going to die from sugar. And he said he's addicted to sugar. And I thought that was really interesting. Now, this is obviously after I'd already started, but I got the same deal. There was a lot of information out there saying that, say, visceral fat, which is that fat that's underneath your stomach muscle. So, you know, you have some people that are kind of bulgy on the outside of that. And you can tell. And then there's other people where their stomach looks tight, but it's just bulged out. And that's visceral fat. And that's an inner fat that actually is very much, it's much more prone to heart disease than the other kind of fat. And that scared me to death. So so I took that, looked at the keto diet, and I said, you know what, this is going to do it. And this is extreme like I am. So, and it's not necessarily so hard to do. It's very simple in its theory, not necessarily easy to accomplish. And so I went with it and I tried it, and it worked extremely well, more than I had ever thought or imagined, and not just in weight loss. So it was great. Great experience.
Well, as far as the weight loss is concerned, what is the best way to approach weight loss so that you can set yourself up for long-term success?
I think, okay, so some of the things that I've really kind of, you know, I've done this for a couple of years now, and every time I have like a failure, I look at why, or I look at what's going on. And I found there's some things, and that is, like, one is find what fits you. Meaning, like, if the diet, you know, if it may not be ketogenic, it may be some other diet, right? Something that fits you. Some people are totally prone to the whole counting calories thing, even though it's, I really poo-poo on that because it's not necessarily healthy, but some people need it. Some people are at a level where, you know, anything will do. So anything is good because, I mean, when it comes right down to it, people can poop on any diet, right? But if you're losing weight on it, that's the part that's good, because nowadays being overweight is scary. It's a, you know, you watch people die from it. That's not good. So I don't really care what diet you take if it's getting you better in the way of being less overweight. But in that, find what fits you. find what you can stick to. And I think that's like the most important part is consistency, because you could do this like complete shred and just, you know, lose 40, 50 pounds in, you know, whatever couple months, right? And it is possible to do. But then if you burn out and you say, well, you know, screw this, I'm going to go cheat for a week, and you never come off that, before you know it, you're actually in worse shape than you were before. And that's terrible.
That's kind of my scenario, man. I don't have a problem losing weight. I really don't. I've lost weight several times. And then you get complacent, or you get, you know, just in a rut, or you're like, you know, a cheat day turns into a cheat week, turns into a cheat month, you know, and then you're kind of back where you were originally again. And it's just really hard on your body, I think, to yo-yo like that.
It is. I think it very much is. Now that's exactly what happened with me. You know, I lost 35 pounds, gained a bunch of muscle, and it was, man, the feeling was great. You know, it was this wonderful feeling. People give you way different attention, right? All of a sudden, you know, I mean, I'm still 44 and think I'm ugly, but I'm getting attention from 30-year-old, you know, hotties. I'm like, damn, okay. Well, that works for me. So then, you know, but you bring up a good point. How do you stick to it? And I found the one thing is that you always have to have some kind of goal. So BlizzCon is one. BlizzCon, I want to look good for BlizzCon. That may seem very, you know, face value, very, what do you call it, shallow. But at the same point, it's a goal, and it motivates you to lose weight. But then as soon as that's done, you know, the thing is to find something else to motivate you. So that's why I kind of went with the visceral fat roll thing, because that visceral fat is so dangerous. I'm more scared of that at this age, you know, 44, mm-hmm. than anything else. But it can be any kind of there's all these diseases now coming from just plain overeating, so all the complications you can have. So it's easy to find something serious enough to for you to take seriously, right? So mm-hmm. that's I totally agree. It's a, you know, sticking to it, that's where the ketogenic came in for me, because it's easy to keep to. People are always seeing what I'm eating, so they're always like, are you right? Did you just have some carbs? Oh man, you're cheating, you know. And I love mm-hmm. it. I think that's great. I don't mind that they call me out at all, and you know, it keeps me good.
Do you feel like accountability is a key piece to that?
I would say so. I mean, with my diet, of course, it's very, for me, you know, I'm obviously okay with telling everyone, and I'm not like trying to tell everybody I got the best diet or whatever. You know, I'm not mm-hmm. trying to vegan out people. But I definitely, like, when they look and they're like, why do you have that big ass steak for lunch when we've got a lunch right here that you can have, you know, that's free, you know, catered lunch at work. And I'm like, I can't eat that. And they find out. Yeah. And then the next time they're like, hey, where's your steak? You know, there's nothing for you to eat here.
Or or they see you eating the pizza and they're like, well, I thought you couldn't eat that. What are you doing? Exactly. It's like, it's just this circle, man.
It is. And now, funny enough, I am actually okay with them doing that. I used to not be. I used to be really dumb. What the hell do you think you are? You know? But now, I'm like, well, no, they're helping me out. That is going to keep me motivated to keep going and keep doing it. And that's what I mean. And but at the same point, you know, the failures, those times when we quit, or when we, they're just steps of learning, right? So when I failed at doing it, I found that the reason why was because I got complacent. I lost 35 pounds, and I'm like, dang, I succeeded. I'm, you know, look at my stomach. Like, I had a 2-pack, which is, you know, that's amazing, right? To me, that's amazing. I don't care about a 6-pack. I just had, like, you know, 2 bumps, and I'm cool, right? And I mean, it wasn't a big deal, you know, but it's just, for me, that was epic. I hadn't seen that in well over a decade. Actually, more like 2. So, I hate to say that. So the failures, when I failed, when I said, okay, I'm cool, you know, let me go cheat for a little bit. I can do this. I can go have my Egg McMuffins because I love them, you know, and go have like a whole, you know, pumpkin pie because that's what I do.
Right.
I no longer eat in slices. I eat in whole pies. So I had to be very careful of that. I found that, you know, before I knew it, I was back up to the regular, you know.
Sauce. I know, man. So I swore I would never touch Taco Bell again. And next thing I know, wow, this breakfast crunch wrap is awesome. And I ate all this Taco Bell, and I won that Overwatch giveaway thing. And I'm like, oh, see, this is great. This is paying off.
Yeah,
but it's not, man. It's terrible. You know, it gets to you, and I think like a lot of what you're saying is it's okay to do that here and there, but. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, driving through on the way to work is 2, 3, 4 times a week is not the way to do it.
Oh, right. So, and that's the thing. So, like, I learned that fails were just stepping stones. I learned on each one of them. I made sure that I learned something good and important. Mm. And the other thing is that on ketosis, when you're on ketosis, it takes you 2 days to get into ketosis. So when you cheat, it is not just like, oh, I cheated for that meal, I'll be fine, right? Mm-hmm. I cheated. It's going to take me 2 days to get back into the place where I need to be. So the problem
that I have with that is that some of the dieting that I've done is also extremely strict, and it's like there is no wiggle room. You can't fail. This one that I've done in particular, I won't get into the details of it, but if you fail, you screw up, you're done, you messed up, and this thing is supposed to be like a, you know, between a 1 or 2 month, you know, kind of a detox situation, I guess. But you can't mess up. I just started it again recently, and not even a week into it, I totally just kicked it over the side. It's like, well, they had tacos at work, and somebody catered this and brought that, and oh well, you know, like, and I don't know, man. It's just I struggle to find the motivation, and I think maybe it's because I'm putting myself in these situations where it's like you're not allowed to fail, and if you do, you just wasted all that time. Would you say maybe it's better to be in a place where you can, you know, where it's okay to fail here and there, and so like you said, use those as stepping stones and try and just recover from that rather than just being like, oh well, I screwed up, guess it's over, you know.
I would totally agree. Now when I say that, like, say it takes two days to get back in, the nice part is that it actually, you know, when you're doing the ketosis and whatnot, the nice part is that, number one, you can fail twice within a week and you'll still be in ketosis twice, right? So it's not necessarily completely deadly to be. And it hopefully, by the time you get to the point where, you know, where you've felt really good on ketosis, or at least for me, I have, when I felt really good, carbs become all of a sudden a little scary, because if I say, like, I have a pizza, those carbs, I start to get jittery in my body, because of the fact that ketosis actually changes your body chemistry. You have now starved bit of carbs, which it needs for your brain to function. So it freaks out. It says, well, I don't have carbs, I'm going to fat. And so then it suddenly changes to fat, and your body loves it. It loves to be in fat burning mode like that. But, you know, as fat as energy. I got so much energy. I could actually, my mind was in less of a fog, which I think a lot of people, they get that from doing other diets that just don't include things like pizza, things that have like lots of gluten and bread, right? But for me, it was like so stark. It was so amazing because I have that slice of pizza and suddenly my hands are jittery. Like, I can feel this. My heart starts popping. Like, oh, wow, I can't do this. You know, I can't. This is bad. So it kind of keeps me away. At the same point, like what you were and the failures, even though they're stepping stones, sometimes those stepping stones are hard to see. One of the things I started doing is for everything that I really loved, like if there was something that I was that was carb heavy that I really loved and I couldn't have anymore, I'd find a replacement. And the nice part about ketosis is I don't have to really pay attention to how much I eat. I can, you know, when I'm on ketosis, there's pretty much, you know, it's leafy greens are the big deal. That's how you get most of your, you know, your veggies and most of your nutrients, right? Steak or any type of meat, but mostly you want to stick with things that are ready. That's why I do steak quite a bit, because steak has more fat. And one thing that's really nice about it is that saturated fat is not a bad thing in my diet. In fact, I try to get as much of it as possible. People talk about good fats and bad fats. Saturated fats are good fats for me. And the nice part is people freaked out. People are like, you eat that much fat? Like, I will take pieces, slices, you know, people will cut fat from, you know, treats and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I'll cook it and I'll eat that straight.
That's awesome.
It's great. It tastes wonderful. I love it.
So I feel like I need to, maybe I should have said this at the top. I don't know. I feel like I need to say, though, that none of us are diet experts or anything. We're just, this is really a conversation about about trying to approach it from a real perspective of somebody who has just tried to study and do their best and figure it out. You know, we're not like, I don't think you're a dietitian, and I'm certainly not, but yeah, cause I think some people, once they hear you, once the calories eat fat, do that, you know, it's like all of a sudden people start freaking out, and it's like, and the point of this conversation is about how to stay motivated, to find what works for you, to try and be faithful to it, and to learn from your mistakes, and that we can all do this.
Absolutely. Like, I'm no pro. I just found what works for me really well, and now I feel like that's where I'm stuck for the rest of my life. I just feel like this, it's been, so far, it's been really great. It worked for me. It may not work for everyone, but,
so you mentioned, you know, ketosis is what you're doing. There's a lot of like fads and trend diets, and you mentioned earlier paleo and Atkins and no carb and South Beach and Cookie Monster or whatever that, you know, all these, I saw this one that was about only eating cookies and, you know, so, do you feel like most of these are valid lifestyle solutions? You just need to find the one that works for you, or do you think any one of them in particular are like, I would stay away from that, or I'm not sure about that, or, you know, is there anything that sticks out to you as a red flag as unhealthy? Or
I think overall, most of the diets seem to be fairly spot on. You know, it's the ones that actually promote you to eat processed food, I'm not a fan of. Like, you know, the one, no offense to them if people are using them, but like the ones that have their own meal plans that you go and buy at the store.
I did Nutrisystem for a little while, and that's like, that's all weird prepackaged, you know, like, and maybe it does work, I don't know, but even when I was doing it, it felt weird. It felt like, I'm not really sure about this. I had probably more gas than I've ever had in my life, and it was just like, you're eating these weird pre-portioned, you know, spaghetti and meatballs, and it's like, the, you know, this is like, it was just like Chef Boyardee, and I'm like, I'm dieting? Is this real?
That's exactly. I mean, for me, it seems to me like real food is the way to go. For, you know, the whole paleo idea, I think that's a really good, like, I've seen a lot of people lose weight and just feel good and be able to sustain paleo. And maybe I could do that. I don't know. I've just found that I really enjoy this one. I think there's a lot of different diets out there now that, yeah, they're mostly about eating real foods, being aware of how much you're eating. Like I said, with ketosis, I don't have to worry about it, but any other diet, I would need to worry about that.
So tracking your calories and your exercise and all that is probably a better way of doing it. If you feel like you can do that, if you can get the Fitness Pal or Strong or whatever it is, like, it is a good idea to keep tabs on what you're doing and eating and, you know, spending. And
I would say that, yeah, there's another site that's really good that basically tells you what you should, how much you should be putting in your body, so to speak. And it's, I found it to be really great because it's much more, it's called Eat This Much. It's much more generic. It tells you, you know, how much you plan to lose, what type of diet are you doing, here's how much you should really be eating. And then, you know, I think that things like meal planning, like, you know, where you basically, you go out on Sunday, you get all the food that you need, and you cook it all up and put it into little packages, that's pretty awesome. I would actually love to be at that point. Right now, I buy it on Sunday, but I don't cook it. Instead, I wait until the day of, and then I go cook it, right? I think it's about the same, you know, but I would like to have that. That would be great to me. It's real food. You're portioned. I think the big thing is just, you know, is that pre-plan, there is a little amount of pre-planning. I don't know if I would want to, you know, for some people, the MyFitnessPal works great. For me, the way I can't do it. But if it does, I think that's really cool.
Yeah.
Something else you were saying that I thought was really good is that, we are not, like, none of us are pro dieters here. That said, I was actually a little worried. Some people asked me, you know, do you know this is working? Are you sure you're not killing yourself with all that saturated fat? So I actually did. I got a blood test done before, and I got a blood test done after a month of being in ketosis. And funny enough, all my numbers were actually better. So I felt good. Now, the other thing, though, is I was working out at the same time, so it's possible that was a factor.
Well, yeah, that's gonna make a difference.
Yeah, and that's – yeah, so that's another thing.
Daryl, I think you had this one.
Well, I think he's almost answered it already, but how do you splurge and have cheats but stay on track?
So one thing is if I really want to splurge, you know, once a week, actually, it's nice. In ketosis, there's these things where you have to cycle. It's really good to have at least like one meal a week where you have carbs. For me, I do it, of course, because I'm a more extreme person, I do a more extreme case. So I eat a whole pumpkin pie. You know, I mean, that's my cheat, you know. So if I have a cheat on a cheat meal, it's going to be that. It's in almost always it's going to be that. Because I look forward to that. But it could be anything, really. I just did notice that if I try to do a cheat meal and I try to do pizza, forget it. You know, done for. So I don't. I tried that like about 3 months ago. I ended up having this like acid reflux from hell and I couldn't sleep the whole night. Sorry, those sirens are from,
I hear them.
Better get back in the backyard.
So what are some things that you can do to stay motivated on a daily basis and to kind of regain ground after you cheated and you're maybe feeling discouraged or feeling like you're off track?
I would say first, don't feel discouraged. You know, we're all going to make those mistakes. And you know, as long as we understand, we acknowledge that it's a mistake, right? That it's okay, I screwed up. You know, I need to not do that. And then at the end of the week, you know, pay attention to how many times you did cheat. If you cheated more than once, right? And if you only cheated once, you're doing good. That's decent. Like, you know, I mean, the people cheat is too. You know, if you feel like, well, I only ate this one thing, and I've seen this where people say, oh, I only cheated once throughout the whole week, but then I've watched them and they didn't notice the fact that they ate that you know, that breakfast they had you know, croissant, right? And then at lunch they didn't, you know, they didn't really, they think the cookie is the thing that was cheating or whatever, but they didn't really pay attention. And there's a lot of things that actually people don't necessarily know contain a lot of calories that are just sitting there, you know, and they call it empty calories, I guess. Mm-hmm. But yeah, those can sneak up on you. So that's the hard part. Is my feeling is don't fool yourself, but be real. You know, if you do, don't beat yourself up. Don't think you've ended your diet. You're still on the diet, right? Because a lot of people, I used to do that where I'm like, I screwed up the diet. It's done. I'm done for. I have to start all over from scratch. No, not necessarily. Just keep going on the journey. You know, and that's how I feel. Is like, I've already felt like I've already made ketosis, at least for now, until I change my mind. It's my diet from here until I die. And then if I find that I can change that, or at some point, you know, I need to change it, great. Then I'll do something else. And I will think of it to like, that's my diet till I die. It's a life experience. I think that's what helps me.
So if you're wanting to avoid those little trap scenarios, then do you think and you're the kind of person that falls into that, that's probably the kind of person that's going to want or need to track what they're eating a little more. So at the end of the day, they could see, oh crap, I had two bagels in the office this morning and didn't even realize it, you know?
Oh yeah. Cause two bagels would kill you, right? I mean, that would be a lot. So
that's a lot. I mean, but it happens, right? We could sit here and say that, but you know what? Like, you know, on Friday when they bring in pastries or whatever, like I could do that and not even think about it.
Exactly. Yeah. Not even consider what it is. That's about 800 calories right there. Right. And so, I mean, when you think about it, like 800 calories to try to work that off, the amount of running you would have to do would be epic. You'd probably die. I mean, just in one day, right? I mean,
how much Overwatch do I need to play to work off two bagels is the question.
Is this Overwatch in real life or is this on the game?
Exactly. Yeah.
Oh, have you seen on Facebook, there's this new ad for this cycling thing that goes under your desk. Have you seen that?
Oh, nope.
Yeah. It's a little tiny little Yeah, so you got the little pedals and you cycle while you do it. The problem is you have to actually put your feet in it and do it, right, while you're playing. That's the tough part is, like, I actually have a stance for when I'm playing first-person shooters. Mm-hmm. I like, it's almost like a squat stance, right? I'm ready, like, so when things are happening, I'm actually, it's kind of weird, but I always have a good footing when I play a video game.
Do you do the standing desk thing?
I do. I'm very lucky at work. We have ones that go up and down, standing, sitting.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
it's great because I can't see anybody standing for all that time. Yeah. But standing, doing the combination is great.
Awesome. Well, Daryl, did you have any other questions?
I don't think so. No, I got nothing.
How much bourbon does it take to get you where you want to be?
Who's that? There's corn in that. No, corn's healthy, right? So.
Yeah. Well, like we mentioned, this wasn't a professional consultation, but this is somebody who's done their homework and done their research and had great success. And I think Dave does bring a lot to the table and obviously knows what he's talking about. So I really, really appreciate you coming on and chatting with us tonight, Dave.
Always. Love it.
Well, if you guys have any questions, you can send an email to the show at thetrainingdummies.com. If you want to add anything to this topic or later topics, please feel free to leave us a voicemail or join our Discord server over at thetrainingdummies.com.
It seems fate has brought us together.
You have my gratitude.
We make a great team.
I'm sure glad you're around.
Well, if it ain't my favorite person.
You have your uses, don't you?
You have quite a talent there.
Together, our victory is assured.
Good enough.
Rob, what do you got for a shout-out this evening? Shout-outs.
Definitely, Dave, for coming on. Really appreciate that. I would like to give a shout-out to Blizzard for having such a phenomenal launch for Overwatch, because that was seriously great, man. I feel like that went over probably the best game launch I've seen come out of that company. And I was really, really excited. There's a lot of hype behind it. And I participated in that hype. So just to see it all go so well, I believe it's Team 4, just did a phenomenal job. And I really, really want to send a special shout out to those guys. Daryl, what do you got?
As always, the raid team in our guild that had one job over on the Earthen Ring server. It's still weird to say that. I know it's been almost a month now, but it's still weird saying Earthen Ring. Anyway, I love all you guys. Really glad that we still get together every Friday, even though our get-togethers on Friday, I'm starting to have enough Hellfire, Citadel, and it's not you guys. It's just that place. I don't want to do that anymore, but I still want to do something with everyone else. Dave, thanks for coming on this evening and talking with us. That was really good. I really enjoyed that. Dave, do you have any shout-outs for us?
Sure. It's not WoW related. I'd say my shout-out goes to Doom because somebody's already done a run, no kill, no deaths throughout the whole game. That's me. So pretty amazing. That's like my thing.
Awesome. Well, before we wrap up this episode, Dave, where can people reach you out if they have any questions about what we talked about tonight or anything else, really?
Sure, you guys are welcome to ask me any questions. I'm always ready and willing when I have time. Usually have time. It's at Screwloose Wow, so Screwloose, Wow, on Twitter. And if you really look for anything that has Screwloose in your phone.
All right, well, that wraps up episode 130 of The Training Dummies. You can find this and past episodes of the show on iTunes, Stitcher, and thetrainingdummies.com. And remember, we're all just jackasses with mics, so until next time.
It's advice you can trust from people you shouldn't.
Woo!